everyone. Welcome to Garden Fork Radio. You're here with Eric and Eric.
Eric Squared. Yeah. Great to be back.
Eric from Root Simple has joined us here. This is a kind of a spontaneous coming of the minds. We both were lacking a co-host, and we just kind of messaged each other and said, hey, what are you doing? I don't know, what are you doing? So we turned on the computer, and we're going to do a dual podcast today. So welcome, everyone.
Yeah, great to be back. It's like a podcasting bromance.
Today, guys, we're going to talk about what's it's like when the power goes out in LA. And I was interested in a pizza class that Eric just took and whatever else pops into our head. So welcome, everyone. And welcome, Eric.
Great to be back again.
So you guys have a site. It's called rootsimple.com. And what I like is that you guys are actually regular about posting content other than your podcast. And I need to get better at that. I'm trying to post a couple of text posts a week. But your power went out. And I would never thought about the power going out in a place like Los Angeles. I always think about the power going out when a tree is full of snow and it takes down a power line. But I guess the power goes out in other parts of the country too.
Well, it's the opposite problem. It was a really hot day, so I think everyone was using their air conditioners, and it just overloaded the grid here. And we're in an old part of Los Angeles, so everything's 100 years old, and stuff goes out every once in a while. We actually, the street over lost its water 2 weeks ago when a water line burst, but it happens here. No ice storms, but heat will do it.
Wow. So is there some tricks for staying cool?
Oh, I was going to ask you that one. it's tough. I mean, this house that we're in was built in the 1920s. And I think when they were building houses back then, they couldn't put them up fast enough. So it's uninsulated. It's got, you know, typical of a 1920s house, it's got a lot of windows, probably too many windows, so it gets hot in here. So our strategy for dealing with the heat is to go to the library. I hate to say it. We have one window air conditioner in the bedroom, and that's it. We do have, I actually put in a do-it-yourself whole house fan in the attic, which does help. I mean, actually, in this climate, it works really well. Actually, I heard your co-host talking about that last week. But it works in a climate where it cools down at night. And it does, thankfully, it usually does that here. So it is not that humid usually, and then evenings are cool. And that's when I can turn that on. And basically, that's just I stuck a big fan. It's very, like, impromptu. I stuck a big fan in a hole in the attic access door. And that fan basically sucks air in the windows of the house. So in the evening, what I'll do is open the windows, turn that fan on. It sucks cold air into the house or cool air into the house and pushes the hot air out of the attic. And it works pretty well. So basically, I'll look at the outdoor thermometer. And when the outdoor thermometer is cooler than the thermostat inside, I know that's my cue that I can turn on the whole house fan. I think if I had a larger space to stick in a bigger fan, I'd probably go with a proper whole house fan. But just the quirky way that this house is put together, I didn't have the space between the ceiling studs to put one of those in. So I stuck just basically a big fan in, and it works.
So you just like got a box fan from one of the big stores and rigged it up in there?
Yep. Basically, I took it out of its box. It still has a cage around it, but I basically installed it in a piece of plywood that goes where the attic door access door is. And in the hot part of the year, I'll switch out the normal attic door with the fan, the whole house fan.
Basically. So for like $25, you made an attic fan.
Yep, exactly.
What this does, everyone that's listening, the whole idea here is that you're blowing hot air up into your attic, and it isn't contained up there. Attics are actually vented along the top of the roof. If it's a recent house, you might notice a little lip at the crown of your roof, and that's actually a small gap that lets air out. And also along the soffits and the gable ends, you will see these sometimes a round louvered round louvers or just screening. And it's all built on the idea of convection and that it cools off the attic a little bit. And the whole idea of this is to keep the house a little cool, yes, but to extend the life of your roofing shingles, really.
Oh, I didn't know that part of it. That's interesting.
Man, you learned something just calling the East Coast here.
There you go.
It's kind of funny because I think my biggest way to control heat and cool is the indoor-outdoor thermometer. And I own more than one. So, but yeah, I mean, I compare the indoor temperature to the outdoor temperature, and that's how I decide whether to open or close the windows. The nice part for this is that we both work from home, so you're home to do it. But there are actually systems, there are fresh air systems for forced air heating and cooling that will do this as well. They will monitor the outside temperature. And there's a big flap vent that with a motor, and it'll open and close to bring in some air. And they also make these rigs to reduce the humidity in that air, which is very interesting.
Which is more of a problem where you are, right? I mean, it's pretty humid in Brooklyn.
Yeah, it's New England. It hasn't been too bad this summer, but it's kind of a depends on who you ask kind of thing. So I'm just stunned by the amount of cement we have around here, and it's a big heat sink. So it does cool down, but man, what a difference if you're up in the woods. You know, when it cools down in the woods, it's really cool. Down here, the cement just gives off heat all night. So
yeah.
I love it. I love the idea. But the other cool thing was the power outage forces you to kind of interact with your neighbors, and it's also just a reason to go see them.
Yeah, you probably have this experience too, where you are in at least your Brooklyn house. I know the neighbors here, and it was nice. The power went out. Kind of a party atmosphere develops actually, and. So, yeah, I went over just to find out what happened. And because we don't have a smartphone, which, you know, something, I don't know, maybe eventually we'll have to get one of those things. So we actually didn't know what was going on, whether it was a widespread outage or just a local one. So I went over to the neighbors. I also switched on my ham radio, which I don't use that much.
Yeah.
And I could tell that from the chatter on that it was not a serious situation. It was just a couple of blocks here. But yeah, the neighbors told me that the power would be back on at 1 a.m., which just about right on the dot it was.
I have one of those rechargeable AM/FM radios that has a little hand crank, a little dynamo hand crank on the side. And if all else fails, that's
one of those too.
Yeah. That's my go-to AM radio. So I knew you had bought that ham radio for kind of, you know, when the stuff hits the fan. There's a short term for that, but there isn't, it's not, I guess for some people it's a little more social, and for people like you and I it might be more kind of an emergency tool.
Yeah. It's something I just don't have the time right now to devote to that pursuit. So I've kind of put that on the back burner, but I did get a license, and I guess you could do pretty cool things with it. Every once in a while, I used to check in with the local. There's various nets that you can check in with that are on a regular basis to kind of get some practice using it. Cool thing about that ham radio is it also has, you know, aviation radio and police and fire and other things like that. So you can tune into that stuff too.
Wow. Yeah, because when the power goes out, the smartphone can be kind of useless. If the nearby cell towers don't have any power, then you're toast with your smartphone.
Kind of, although I hear they're getting a lot more reliable than they used to be.
Uh-huh.
We still have a landline, and of course that's a separate power grid, and that's always working, it seems to. Although I wonder how much longer that's going to be maintained. So I probably eventually will have to go the smartphone route.
Come over to the dark side, Eric.
Exactly. Yep.
Hey everyone, real quick, if you do us a favor, go to your computer, log on to iTunes, and write a review, a 5-star review, hopefully, of Garden Fork Radio, and if you like, Garden Fork, the TV video show as well. We have 2 podcasts on iTunes. If you would use words like DIY, food, podcast, cooking, gardening, that'd be cool too, right? So go to iTunes, say nice things about us. That'll really help us in the search on iTunes so more people can find Garden Fork and listen to cool stuff. Thanks. All right. Well, last thing I wanted to catch up on with you is we were talking the other day and you had just taught a pizza making class. And so what's your kind of overview on homemade pizza in your class?
Yeah. So what I taught was basically a variation on the tartine bread recipe. I don't know if you've ever fooled around with that. It's mm-hmm. a basic sourdough recipe. To make pizza with that recipe, what I showed people is using 00 flour, which is it's actually a little confusing as exactly what 00 flour is. It means something a little different in the U.S. than it means in Italy.
Is it a grind?
The 00 refers to the grind. In Italy, though, there's different 00 flours. There's some for making pizza and there's some for making pasta, so on and so forth. The kind that I have access to here is for making pizza. And it's a relatively high protein flour, so it's pretty glutinous, which means it's easier to stretch out the dough. Because if you use all-purpose flour for mm-hmm. pizza, it can kind of fight you. You'll try to stretch it out and then it'll fight its way back. So the 00 flour they use is pretty good at, you know, it's pretty easy to shape. And also you could use bread flour too, which has the same glutinous properties, the same high protein. It's easy to stretch out. So I showed how to do that, and it was a sourdough recipe. So basically you make it with either bread flour or 00 flour. 00 flour gives you more of a Italian style thin crust pizza, mm-hmm. and the bread flour is more of a New York style pizza, thicker crust. So whatever you want, and then you let it rise for 4 hours, and then I like to stick it in the refrigerator because then you get this long fermentation in the fridge, which gives you a kind of a deeper flavor.
Yep.
And then you can also the next day you can take it out of the fridge and shape it and bake it whenever you want to. So that's what I showed. And then the other neat trick, which I learned from a guy who calls himself the Pizza Hacker in San Francisco, who is this really cool guy.
All right, I know that guy. Yeah,
the guy that did the modified Weber grill mm-hmm. thing. You know that trick with it's like a cement top for a Weber grill and for baking pizza out on the street there in San Francisco. But he also has another neat trick, which is making pizza in a skillet on the oven. And I discovered this on the stove top, rather. I discovered this. I was having some some people over for pizza one week, and it started raining. So we couldn't use the outdoor pizza oven that I have. So we did it in the kitchen. And it's pretty simple. You shape your dough. You stick it on a skillet, like cast iron is my favorite, on the stovetop with the burner on either medium to high, depending on your stove. Mm-hmm. So you put it in there, put just a small amount of oil in the pan, bake the pizza dough as you're baking the dough, or excuse me, as you're frying it in the pan, essentially, you can top it. So about 3 minutes in the pan, and then you stick it under the broiler.
Uh-huh.
And what it does is it gives you that heat that a pizza oven has. And, frankly, the pizza done this way is just as good as the stuff coming out of the Cobb oven. It's like, why did I go through the effort to put together the Cobb oven when this is so easy to do and it makes a really nice pizza? Because the problem with doing in the oven, which I used to do, with like a pizza stone, mm-hmm. is that the oven doesn't get hot enough.
Right. And but the broiler gets really wicked hot.
The broiler gets wicked hot, so you gotta really watch the pizza at that point. And you might have to adjust the height, if you can. Like my broiler, I can adjust it a couple inches up and down. So in my broiler, it's another 3 minutes, and it's done. Your broiler, your results may vary, but that's how it works. Real simple. Works great.
It's the hottest day of the year here right now, and now I want to fire up the oven. So,
yeah, that's the problem, right? It was super hot at the workshop, and so yeah, this is the time of year I kind of shut the bread and pizza making down for a while, or I do it outside. I mean that temporary brick oven you have on your site is very cool too. That's another nice way to do it.
The portable brick oven gets it's one of the most visited pages on the website, and man, it's just kind of, I can't claim to have invented it. It's a guy named Stuart who did it, and I always, you know, talk up him and his ebook. And it's just kind of this light bulb goes off in people's heads, and they're like, I'm going to build that thing. And then at least once a week, I get an email from someone, and I always ask them, send me pictures. And every once in a while, they'll send pictures. So I'm trying to create on the website, I think I have to use some kind of plugin to do it, but a neat gallery, a slideshow gallery thing of all the different pizza ovens that have been built by people that watch Garden Fork.
Yeah, you should totally do that. I mean, it's nice to have an open fire like that, you know, for a group of people. It makes a nice, you know, kind of outdoor party thing that the stovetop method doesn't have. But, you know, I'd say if you're just making pizza for yourself at home on a weeknight or something, the stovetop way is the way to go.
Yeah, it's just, it's kind of a fun, you know, you have a couple of bottles of wine and you're in the yard or the driveway and your neighbors come over and they're like, what is Eric doing? You know?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Couple of tricks for people. Someone asks every week, can I bake bread in the portable pizza oven? And you really can. It really lacks mass. Your Cobb oven has that. And I've seen a couple of people try and block the large entrance of the portable pizza oven. And a couple have been successful at small loaves, but it just doesn't, it's not really built for that long-term heat thing, you know?
Yeah, it's not going to hold heat.
Right, because the idea with the bread oven is you fire the puppy up, and then do you take the coals out and then just let the heat of the oven bake the bread?
Yeah, exactly. You have to take the coals totally out, and you have to fire it for a long time. So many hours, 5-6 hours sometimes, depending on the oven.
Do you think pallet wood would be okay to burn in a Cobb oven? I mean, is that an okay kind of firewood? Or do you need like hardwood?
Well, there's varying opinions on that. I burn scrap wood to get it going. Mm-hmm. You know, with pallet wood, you'd want to be careful where it comes from because some of it's treated.
Yeah.
So obviously, you'd want to avoid that. For pizza, you need hardwood. So what I'll do for a pizza fire is I will start with scrap wood, pieces of 2x4, things like that, to heat the oven up. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as the pizza is ready to go in, I'll switch to hardwood. The reason being that soft wood will pop and that'll spread ashes on your pizza, which you don't want.
All right.
Right. So that's why I'll use hardwood while the pizza's cooking is going on. But then if you switch back to baking bread, yeah, you can just do 2x4s and scrap wood and you don't need to use hardwood for that, especially since you're going to take the fire out anyways.
I've been collecting pallets for my maple syrup evaporator for next winter's boil.
Oh, nice.
It's kind of hard. Up in where our house is in Connecticut, a lot of people heat their houses with wood, so pallets are sought after, you know? So I've been collecting a lot of pallet wood, and I've been paying attention to the composition of the wood. And from what I understand, I think the pallets that are painted blue, I think for some people that means that they have been used to transport chemicals, perhaps. I have to still have to research this more. But if anyone out there knows about pallets, we'd like to hear from you. It's radio@gardenfork.tv.
You know who knows about pallets? I was just sent Deke Dietrichson's new tiny house book. And I was just thumbing through it before you called, and there's a few pages on pallets in there. He seems to know, he knows his pallets.
Oh, cool. I know Deke. We built plywood boats. Yeah, and he's,
there you go.
He's been on the show before. He's amazing. That guy has like, it's like he has caffeine in his veins all the time.
Yeah, exactly. And he coined, I think it's his term is obtainium. I love that term for things like pallets.
Use I love
windows,
it.
Stuff like that.
I'll have to get hold of Deke and see if he can be on the show. He's just like Mr. Energy, so that's cool. And we'll go find out about his book. People don't send me books. You're like the, you know, I don't get books.
You got to ask at first, but just ask and they will send.
All right, cool. Arter One, if you want to ask a question, you can ask us at radio@gardenfork.tv. And you can check out Eric's site. It's called rootsimple.com, and Kelly and Eric have a podcast as well. It's Rootsimple on iTunes, and I think you'll enjoy it. By the way, very interesting talk with the guy that has chickens and all sorts of stuff It's a two-parter. Winnetka Farm, the two-part Winnetka Farm podcast was very interesting, I thought.
Yeah, thanks. Craig's a really nice guy.
So that was cool. All right, everyone. So make it a great day and let us know your thoughts. See ya.
Garden Fork's theme music is used under license from UniqueTracks.com.